This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Dr. Z. Scott, the president of Chicago State University, located on Chicago's southeast side. Dr. Scott was introduced by Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of the city of Chicago. It turns out that Z. Scott had served 16 years as an assistant U.S. attorney in Chicago, 30 years as an attorney, and that as an assistant U.S. attorney, one of the people who worked with her was none other than the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Chicago State University was founded in 1867. It sits on 161 acres of land, and Dr. Scott said that Chicago State University may very well be the most picturesque public campus in the Chicago area. 70% of the students at CSU are African American. 70% are female. The faculty is involved in research, writing, teaching. There are more than 20 labs on campus. And CSU is number one in the state of Illinois in educating African Americans in various areas of equity. Their pharmacy school is the most diverse in terms of a student body in the United States. Their nursing program, their occupational therapy program, and pharmacy have a 100% placement rate. When she took over in July of 2018, Chicago State University faced many, many problems. Deferred maintenance to the point where roofs were leaking, heating systems weren't working, severe declines in enrollment, tremendous numbers of challenges and opportunities. She has undertaken certain initiatives. Number one, to improve relationships with Springfield, to increase the enrollment at Chicago State, and that has happened. A 5% increase in their operating budget, and for the first time in over 20 years, receiving $34 million in capital funds to meet capital needs. The student body at Chicago State is very diverse. Last year's graduation group ranged in ages from 22 to 77. CSU is an open access school, and that means that the students may need special support. So a tremendous emphasis is being put by Dr. Scott and her team of administrators on providing more counselors, advisors, wellness unit, and child care centers on campus. Chicago State University is crucially important to Chicago, especially the south side of Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot said, "We will partner with you to get things done for Chicago State University." The new emphasis will be on better branding and marketing, starting a new MBA program that will meet on Fridays and Saturdays all day long, a new emphasis on adult learning programs. Dr. Scott's vision for Chicago State is that it be one of the top 100 public universities in the United States in the next 5 years, that CSU become an economic engine for the south side of Chicago. And then she turned to Mayor Lightfoot and said, "We need better signage and a better stop from Metra and the CTA at 95th Street. Mayor Lightfoot said, "We will definitely attend to that issue." She finished up by saying, "We have to make certain that Chicago State University is a contributing success to the city of Chicago and particularly the south and southeast sides."
And now, today's moderator, Jackie Robinson Ivey, board member. Thank you.
So I'm going to continue our introductions as Mayor Lightfoot and President Scott make their way up to the podium. I think we don't have their water up here. So staff, if you could get their water up here. I'm going to read an introduction about Z. So good afternoon, and it is my pleasure to introduce both the mayor, which has already been done, as well as President Z. Scott. In July of 2018, Z. Scott became Chicago State University's 12th permanent president. President Scott has played an influential role in Chicago's professional and civic community for over 30 years. Prior to being president at CSU, President Scott spent more than 16 years as an assistant U.S. attorney in Chicago, where she served as chief of the general crime spectrum, as the general crime section. She also served as Illinois' first executive inspector general. She also spent many years in the private practice of law. In addition to the private practice of law, she has also taught law as an adjunct in Chicago area law schools. President Scott has been engaged in civic activity most of her career. Currently, she serves on the board of directors for the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital Medical Center Board. She is also the former chair of the Board of Trustees for the Chicago Housing Authority and a former trustee of Chicago University. I could go on and on, but suffice it to say that her career and personal achievements are impressive, and she has been selected for such a time as this to lead an important public institution in our state. We are excited that she and Mayor Lightfoot are sitting down for a conversation about higher education and equity. And before I turn the mic over to Mayor Lightfoot, I just would like to acknowledge that there are a number of female attorneys who have worked with both Mayor Lightfoot and President Scott. And if you all could just stand, Patricia Holmes is in the room. There are a ton of you all here. Could you all just stand? Andy.
George,
I
say it often, but Chicago rocks, and that kind of proves it right there. Mayor?
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I almost said good evening. Not quite yet. So when Z told me about this event probably a couple months ago, I, of course, said yes. Some of you know this, but Z was my boss for a while at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and basically my boss in life. So whatever she asked me to do, I'm going to do. But I'm very, very proud of her and the stride that she's already made in putting Chicago State on a great fiscal and academic path. So I'm happy to be here and give her the opportunity to talk about the great things that are happening at Chicago State. So let's start. As the introduction said, Chicago State is a public university that was founded in 1867. I bet many of you didn't know that. But not a lot of people are as familiar with Chicago State as they should be. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the university?
Okay. Before I start, I think I would be remiss by not recognizing my husband who's here with me today, husband Robert. And my sister Robbie Scott, and many of my friends. I also want to recognize the staff and faculty of Chicago State University who are here with me today, and my board chair Andrea Zopp, the board chair of our foundation Angelique David, and many of our board of trustees from both entities. So I thank you for joining me here today. And they did mention that one of the key civic engagements I'm involved in is Lurie Children's. I love, love, love Lurie Children's. And their CEO, Pat McGoon, is here today. So thank you, Pat, for joining me. Now on to Chicago State University. Chicago State is located on the southeast side of Chicago. Many of you, if you haven't visited the campus, don't know that we sit on 161 acres of land, and it's one of the probably the more picturesque campuses of the public university suite. We are considered a predominantly black institution by the Department of Education. Our population is 70% African American, and it's also 70% female. What people don't know is that we are a D1 athletics program. And now I know what D1 is.
I've been working on her with the sport.
You know, what D1 means is that we've got 15 athletic teams whose schedules are going all over the country at any one time. We have a world-class faculty. Our faculty are involved in research and writing and groundbreaking projects. There's some very expensive mice on campus that have to be cared for daily. And our faculty members, you know, are in and out of the 20 laboratories on our campus. We are ranked number one in public institutions in educating African Americans in equity. And that was and it's not just because I said so. It's because the University of Southern California's Center for Equity evaluated the public institutions in Illinois and rated Chicago State number one, and we're number two nationally in this index, along with 14 other public universities. We have our pharmacy program is ranked number one for graduating students with doctoral degrees in pharmacy who are diverse in the Midwest. We're ranked number three in the nation for graduating student African-American students with degrees in physics. Although we are one of the smallest public universities in Illinois, we grant most the majority of the degrees to African-Americans in Chicago. And our students are highly sought after graduation. We have 100% job placement rates in fields like nursing, education, occupational therapy, and pharmacy, and 90% placement rate for students in our chemistry department. And one of the most important things that we're focused on in education in Chicago State is equity. Equity means how do we make sure that our students, beginning with the time of application and all the way to career, have opportunities to not only thrive, but also succeed along that path. So that's a little bit about Chicago State.
Well, tell me this, though. You know, as the introduction said, you have spent the lion's share of your career as a lawyer. We worked together at the U.S. Attorney's Office. We were partners for a time at Mayor Brown. I've seen you in the courtroom, and you're fierce. And clients really, really loved and respected you. What made you decide to do the pivot from law to being the head of this incredible institution, education institution?
So you're right. I spent, you know, close to over 30 years as a lawyer here in Chicago, and I love being a lawyer. Anybody, I'm one of those few people who even liked law school. You know, but one of the things that, you know, I've always been involved in is civic activity. And at the beginning of 18, I thought to myself that, you know, despite all the experience I had and the incredible opportunity I had as a partner at Foley & Lardner, it just wasn't where I wanted to be at the time. And you and I had a conversation about where you wanted to be, too. And when
things change sometimes.
The mayor called me and said, I'm thinking of running for mayor. I'm like, okay. And, you know, and here she is today. But it was, and it was time for a pivot, you know, but I didn't know what that pivot was going to be. But I had been on the board of Chicago State from 2010 to 13. I grew up less than 3 miles from Chicago State, always lived my entire career in Illinois on the southeast side of Chicago, and loved the institution. And so when the opportunity came for me to apply, I threw my name in the hat and came out on the other side as the president. And many would say I'm a non-traditional president. I'm not. I don't have a doctor degree. I didn't grow up in higher ed. But if you look at some of the opportunities and challenges at Chicago State, I think the board at that time felt like it was time to bring in someone from the business community to deal with the issues of deferred maintenance and enrollment and an opportunity for transformation and renewal for the university. So, and I'm there. And I think it's a critical time in our history where there is a need for a leader like me.
Well, we certainly agree. So tell us a little bit about some of the initiatives that you've instituted that are ongoing that you're most proud of.
So I've been there a little over a year now, and my team who's here with me knows that there's no such thing as sort of parallel, you know, initiatives. It's like multi-layered, multi-tiered. and I'm not worried that people are tiring. I think people are just energetic about the work we're doing.
At least that's what they say in meetings with
you. So I'll tell you, you know, when I transitioned to Chicago State, I went to the Civic Consultant Alliance and asked them to help me design a transition team model that would help me get to know the campus very quickly. And about 30 executives from Chicago, downtown Chicago, including our current board chair and Patrick Mangoon and others who are in the room, came along on that team and went on that journey with me. And that team was led by former federal judge and retired federal judge David Core. He was the chair and Paula Wolf was the co-chair. They spent 4 months in a deep dive on our campus, everything. No rock was left unturned. And I came out with this very comprehensive report about the opportunities and challenges for the campus. So we just got started. You know, first of all, our enrollment had taken a major hit through the budget impasse. So we had to immediately focus on enrollment management. And I'm here to glad to report, but for the first time in 10 years, Chicago State's enrollment did not decline in this last season. It actually went up. It went up 3%, and we've entered probably, we doubled our freshman class from last year to this year. We have a strategic plan in place for enrollment. We started looking at our operations and our capital needs. I brought on Michael Holmes as our administrative vice president for capital because, you know, my first week there, a pipe burst, and we had to close a building. You know, our roof leaked and it flooded our labs. It was things like that, and I knew we needed to be strategic about how we repair and fix things on our campus. So that was one of the things that we happened. We hired a director of government relations to improve our relationship with Springfield. And he's here today.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
maybe we can swap notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've got some ideas of what worked and what didn't work. But, you know, the thing that we're proud of is that at the end of our legislative session, Chicago State had a 5% increase in its budget. And for the first time in 10 years, the state appropriated $34 million in capital to meet our capital needs. And I know I saw a representative from Metro was here. I mean, because public transportation is everything to our students. We are located between two really good spaces of Metro on one side and CTA on the other. But the Metro station was dilapidated and deteriorated. And we made a big push as other presidents and other community organizations have done. But this time we met with success and we've entered a memorandum of understanding with Metro for the complete overhaul of the stop that serves our campus. It's a flag stop now. It's actually sort of dangerous, but now Metro has agreed to repair the stop and really give students who are riding that line an opportunity for access to great public transit. Our partnerships have increased. Our corporate partnerships have increased. The phone actually rings off the hook with people calling and saying, I want to do something for you. And I want to thank the Hyatt Corporation for coming on as one of our major corporate partners. And I saw Tyrone Sudemeyer here this afternoon. And I'll tell you, one of the things I'm really almost most proud of is we have a band. For the first, we have a marching band, a dancing marching band.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. So for the first time in our school's history, we have music on campus. And I talked to our people in our music department about recruiting. They said, President Scott, we may be able to find 10 people because we're competing against other historically black colleges. I put scholarship money on the table. And they came back and they told me we've got 40 students in the band who are from majors across the campus. So we're really excited about the band. So those are a few things.
So you mentioned that you've had some success in getting the attention of Springfield and kind of reversing some of the damage that was done during the budget impasse. Tell us what your specific needs are and how you're advocating in Springfield for Chicago State.
So we have some significant needs. You know, the typical picture of a college student is the student who's graduating in the top of the class with a great ACT score, and they're off to, you know, University X. And then they'll emerge 4 years on the other side with this great degree, and they'll go into industry. But that's not, you know, the typical Chicago State student at times. I mean, last year we graduated, our age range was 22 to 77.
Wow.
And we're open access school, and we're trying to meet students at where they are. And so that means that sometimes the students are going to require more support when it comes to finishing that college degree. And, you know, opportunity, you know, sometimes shouldn't be determined by, you know, by your zip code. So one of the things I asked for in Springfield was money to fund student success strategies, money for more counselors, more advisors, more money for scholarships to close that gap between MAP and Pell and need. And we have done some of that, but I was not successful in getting that. And we also asked Springfield for a General Assembly for money to fund a new capital project on the campus. We do not have graduate and family housing on our campus. Mm-hmm. We need a new wellness center. We are the only public university in the state without a child care center. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to put all of that in one building. And hopefully our advocacy for that again in the spring will prove successful.
I'm taking a few notes here.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned no. In all seriousness,
write it down.
I got it. I was going to say this at the end, but I'll say this now. My view is that Chicago State is critically important to
Absolutely.
The success of Chicago, particularly the South Side. It's a beautiful campus. You are reaching students that no other university is reaching. And we have to be part of your success.
We appreciate that, ma'am.
I've told you this before privately, and I'm happy to say it publicly. You've got a partner, and we want to work with you to get some things done.
Great. Glad to hear that.
So you've said a couple times now today the concept of equity, and you're focused on equity. What does that mean, and how does it manifest itself on a day-to-day basis at Chicago State?
So this is what it means. It means that you are making sure that students have the tools to be successful. The view of higher education is changing in America. You know, the majority of one party doesn't even believe it's necessary for everyone or to have access to a college degree. But what it's been proven that a professional with a college degree earns more over the lifetime than a student without a college degree. So what we're actually trying to do is close the wealth gap in making sure students have access to higher education, because that is what will change families and what will, we believe, change neighborhoods. And that means that you need critical funding for scholarship support. And let me tell you what that looked like this year. We put in place a program called Cougar Way Back, because we knew that we had students who could not register, who owed us less than $1,500, who were juniors and seniors and were almost there at that degree. And so what we did was we entered into a promissory note with them, asked them to commit to attending college for four of the next three semesters toward that degree, and we would, at the end of that term, if they kept that commitment, wipe out that debt.
Wow.
And so we re-registered about 50 students through that program. Wow. We set aside housing waiver vouchers for students. And these weren't going to the students who were coming to us as superstars. These were coming students who were coming to us as the most vulnerable. Students who we know, the statistics show, if you stay in housing on campus, you're more likely to be successful. So we set aside the housing scholarships for students. We then had micro grants. If you look at somebody's account, it could be $500 or less that keeps them from registering. And so we lobbed that money into their accounts without them being even asking to close that gap and allow students to register and buy the books that they need. Our students also need experiential learning experiences. And just like Hyatt this summer provided internships for us, we're hoping to get students more internships, because sometimes that job is what allows a student to stay enrolled in college. So those are some of the equity factors that we're looking at.
So you mentioned that enrollment is up, which is obviously important. Tell us about the initiatives that you have embarked upon to keep enrollment going up so that you can fulfill your mission as a university.
So if you looked at, you know, the Tribune printed an article a couple of weeks ago about enrollment in all the public universities across the state, and they reported our statistics. Many people don't know that during that budget impasse, prior to the budget impasse, Illinois students left Illinois for college at a rate of 23%. After the budget impasse, it was 43%. And many of the people would say it's a brain drain on our state, because when students leave, many of them don't come back. Mm-hmm. So our enrollment management strategy includes reengaging with Chicago Public Schools. And one of the best ways of reengaged is we've started a dual enrollment program where students are both enrolled in our university as well as being enrolled in their public high school. And we put this, the program started about a week ago, and I will tell you they were crashing the gates because we thought we'd get about 20 students. We have about 50, and they come from high schools all over the south side of Chicago, and they are now enrolled in a college class. And to make sure the students were successful, and what we committed to the principals is that we will have peer mentors in every class so that those students will see someone like them to help them be successful. We also are providing outside of classroom tutoring to make sure that students are successful in the classes. And for some came claiming to need lunch. And so we're providing lunch and we're free parking while on campus. So all of those things are designed to make sure that we not only are supporting our public schools, that we're introducing students to the concept of college early. We also have,
Dr. Jackson's an alum, yes?
She is.
Yes.
Janice Jackson is an alum. And LaTanya McDade is also an alum. She's number two. So we have the two top women in CPS are also alum of Chicago State. And we've reassessed our relationships with our community colleges and colleges and reformed strong alliances with colleges like Olive Harvey, who are located less than a mile from us. We have developed better branding and marketing materials. If you're on the South Side, anywhere, you should see a sign that says Chicago State on a banner on a light pole. We purchased software that talks to students when they engage with us. It's powered by artificial intelligence. It's called CRM. I don't know how it works, but it's there. So those are just some of the things that we're doing to make sure that we have a strong enrollment management strategy.
That's good. So I know you have a couple of new programs that you're excited about.
Yes.
Why don't you share them with us?
So first, Chicago State is... we've erected an MBA program for the first time in our history. And it's a weekend program that starts on Friday afternoon and goes until to Saturday. And it will allow the working professional to earn a degree. Because what you're seeing is that African Americans are the largest underrepresented group in taking the admission exam for graduate education. And we need to change that. We need to shift that narrative. And African Americans are only represented in the executive ranks of companies at a rate of about 3%. So the way that path is often determined by a graduate degree, and that's why we're working closely with some of our corporate partners to make sure that our MBA program actually takes our students from greater career heights when they finish the program. And another program that we're very excited about is our Adult Integrated Learning Program. It's a program that actually accelerates the time to degree by giving the student credit for life experiences and professional training. I think you can earn at least 35 hours in that program just for those experiences. So those are two programs we're really excited about.
So I got to ask you about the vision thing. Right. So in the short term and in the long term, what's your vision for Chicago State?
I saw a post once that said, you know, dream so big that you're afraid to say it out loud. And everybody knows that's what I do. I come in a room and I say, here's where we're going now. First of all, I want Chicago State to be one of the top 100 public universities in the next 5 years. And Mary, you'll appreciate this. I want us to field winning athletic teams.
I'm all for that.
And I want us to be an economic engine for the South Side of Chicago. We are one of the largest employers on the southeast side of Chicago. We sit on the largest probably swath of land. And I think that that's something that we can do as a university is to be an economic engine for rebuilding and renewal of the south side of Chicago. I want to create an academic corridor that uses the Dan Ryan as its as the feeder, because there's so many schools like Chicago State that are aligned with the Dan Ryan. So starting at about 79th Street, going all the way down to Percy Julian, we're going to convene a meeting of the grammar schools and high schools and charter schools in that area to talk about how we can come together as a team and as a group and improve the educational outcomes for the students that, that live there.
That's fantastic.
So those are just a few of my dreams. And I also, you know, the CTA was gracious enough to post Chicago State University at 95th and the Dan Ryan. And there's a sign that says Chicago State on the bridge that joins the north and the south terminals. Well, now we have to get our name on the platform. And on the,
I take that as a big hint.
Yeah, on the platform and on the map, because you see when you, you know, there's a Loyola stop, there's a DePaul stop, there's a UIC stop. There ought to be a CSU stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Noted. Yeah. So before we open it up for questions, this is a question I get all the time, and I want to provide you the opportunity. What can these well-wishers, people who come from all walks of life, some are academics, some are from business, and some are just people who love our city, what can we do to further help your mission come to reality?
So first of all, I want to introduce everyone to our executive director of our foundation, Darius Hillman, who's here. Darius, if you could just stand so people know where you are. There he is. And, you know, I think philanthropy is important. We need people who contribute dollars to the mission of what we're trying to accomplish. For example, just the money I talked about that we need in terms of our student success strategies, that needs to be powered by financial support, because we cannot do it alone, and we cannot do it based on the current operating funds that we have on hand. Our students need access to jobs and internships. You know, one organization that is supporting us actually set aside, you know, jobs that are just named Chicago State. And they were three fellowships that our students could enter right after graduation and stay in that work environment for a year. And that job not only provided, you know, real work experience, but it also came with some significant health benefits. We want corporate partners who come to us to help us build and innovate our curriculum. For example, right now we are forming an advisory group to take a look at our computer science program to make sure that our students are learning current skills and will be prepared for entry into the job market. We need executives to come out and be executives in residence to talk to our students and mentor our students as they look for that pathway to success. So these are just a couple of options for engaging with Chicago State. And if you own a concrete company,
is Ozinga or somebody on that in the house?
We would love to talk to someone about the concrete on our campus. And I'm serious here. You know, I saw one of our students who's in a wheelchair trying to navigate the sidewalks that are very broken on our campus. And I talked to Mr. Holmes, and I'm like, well, I mean, what can we do? I actually called one construction company. I did, and introduced myself. Hi, I'm
Z. Listen, I know you're not shy. That does not surprise me.
I called and I said, hi, I'm Z. Scott. Mr. W. And I said, you do a lot of projects around Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself that maybe one day you put too much concrete on the truck. And, I actually did that. I said, you do a lot of projects for government, and that maybe perhaps, you know, you could come out and visit us and get to know Chicago State and I introduce myself as president. I'm not shy. And, you know, this is all for Chicago State and the students that we serve.
Thank you. So I just have to say this. I've known Z now for 25 years. She's my dear, dear friend. I love her to death. We got to make sure she's successful.
Yeah.
So all hands on deck. Do we have questions?
I was sitting over there because I didn't know if the mayor was done or not yet.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how this is supposed to work. Are you getting a hard stop and having to go, or are you staying for a while?
I got a little bit of time, I think.
Yes. So I think this is a conversation that we could probably have for about another 30 minutes, don't you all think? Maybe not. Okay. Are there any questions, staff? Did you guys get some?
You have any cards?
The sign of a good meeting is when there are absolutely no questions. I think there's a few over here. Perry, do you have one? Did you submit it? Okay, so while I'm waiting on the questions to come up, I love that, Mr. W. I'm going to kind of, that was pretty cool there. So the adult integrated program that you were speaking of, because we have so many citizens in the city of Chicago that are working, going to school, the mayor has talked about how she wants Chicago to merge with Chicago State to be a partner. I know that there are so many people that would, you said the program starts on Friday afternoon, is that
that's
what you
said? That's the weekend MBA.
Oh, that's the weekend MBA, okay. So I was confused, I was like, Mayor, are you going to work it out so we can get off work? And, you know, I thought maybe that's how, but so the MBA program is different than the adult
integrated
program. Okay.
It's two different programs.
So we can't get off work early if we wanted to.
We'll give you a pass.
We get a pass?
We'll get you a hall pass.
Okay. Mayor said we get a hall pass. Did everybody hear that? All right.
Yeah.
Are you guys still trying to get these questions up to me?
I just want to really mention one thing, I think, Mayor, that you are focused on right now, that we are establishing a center for cannabis innovation.
Oh, yes.
And that center gets kicked off this weekend with a cannabis expo on our campus. If you read the cannabis legislation passed by our General Assembly in any great detail, you know that legislation has a strong equity component and is designed to address the communities who were experienced a lot of stress as a result of the war on drugs. And I think that where we sit is one of those communities. So we will be hosting a number of panels. We'll be hearing from cannabis industry executives on the issue, including the women who were the chief sponsors of the state senator and representatives who were the chief sponsors of the legislation. And we hope to provide access to expungement opportunities for the community, opportunities to learn about how to invest and work in the industry. We've also designed a certificate program where those interested in the industry can come learn how to live and work and thrive in the cannabis industry after taking this series of five courses that have been designed by our faculty.
Our president said two questions, so I got my two. Kyle Westbrook, are you here? Are you a member? You're not? Did he actually say he's not?
You're now publicly
shamed.
Wow,
you're brave.
Yeah.
But you're going to, he said not yet. Okay, Melissa just saved you. You're going to fix that before you leave, right? Very good. Partnership for College Completion for President Scott. What are the biggest threats to your vision for success for Chicago State University?
I think a couple of things, you know, financial, you know, we have to make sure that students who have the ability and capacity and interest in obtaining a college degree get there. Some of the insecurities that all of our colleges see are now more pronounced, like food insecurity. We've started a food pantry on our campus. You know, housing insecurity, things that really matter that get in the way between that desire and that and the degree. So those things have to be managed. An understanding from the faculty and staff and about the challenges some of the students face when they come to campus. You know, trauma is a big a factor on many of our college campuses. Many students live in neighborhoods that have seen significant issues that lead to trauma. And it's not just the person who personally experienced it. It is also the person who stood by and watched. And we actually are having a trauma conference on our campus, a national trauma campus on our campus this week that's been sponsored by our faculty. So those are some of the challenges, I think. It's really just having an understanding of, you know, factors that interfere with college completion. I think they've been total to be about close to 500 or 600 different factors that interfere.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jay just told me to try to get these one five done, questions huh? into well, one.
She's got to go.
Mayor's got to go?
Yeah.
There's somebody.
Okay.
Great job.
Yeah. One and done.
So I get...
Good talking to you.
Always well, a pleasure.
First of all, thank you so much, Mayor, for taking the time. You know, and Lori talked a little bit about me being a fierce advocate, and when we were federal prosecutors, I want to let you know Lori was equally as fierce. Yeah.
Somehow we kind of already mentioned that. There are some really great questions here that I did not get to. I will make sure that the President Scott gets them. Mayor, I'm assuming you don't need another mug, nor do you need your many memberships. I think you kind of have an open door here.